live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
(615) 844-5600 if you would like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. A little bit later this hour, around 4:35, Barrett Salee joins us. He is a national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Just after 5, Adam Sparks, he's the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean, and we'll visit with Chip Towers around 5:35. He covers the Georgia Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So we had the rain earlier today, and then the sun. The sun actually made an appearance today. I forgot what it looked like.
There was some blue sky out there for a little bit, and then, what, it's gone now, isn't it?
Yes, and now we get back to the little haziness. But you got a little bit of the sun shining here in the southeastern portion of Nashville. Hey, by the way, thoughts and prayers certainly down with all the folks on the coast. I mean, Can they get any more hurricanes this year? Enough is enough already. But you know, an area where I spent 3+ years, they had a lot of they had a strong surge as far as the water, and just like that, it's gone. I mean, yesterday, last night, we're talking about upwards of 8 feet as far as a storm surge from the hurricane Zeta that came through, and this morning, it's gone already.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange.
And it bothered me last night after we got done with the show and I had to head up towards Sumner County. Man, there it took me 55 minutes to get up there just because of not even wrecks. I didn't even see any wrecks. It was just everybody was driving so slow because of the rain, which you should. And it was treacherous all the way up. You couldn't even see hardly like 10 feet in front of you. It was terrible.
Well, they were showing some footage down in Biloxi Gulfport where, like, some of these casinos, like the first level of these parking garages, and literally, you know, 3 or 4 hours earlier, there were, like, you could spot, like, a truck or, you know, cars or whatever. And then fast forward to after the surge came through, you couldn't see the vehicles. They were totally covered in water. But, you know, that whole area down there from Louisiana over to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, too, they have just been bombarded with all of these hurricanes this year. And so hopefully this will be the last one.
Hopefully. I don't know. When does hurricane season end?
Well, I thought it already had. But, you know, when you're up into now Zeta, because you've already run through the alphabet, so now you're into the Greek alphabet, you know you've had a lot of name systems that have passed through this year.
Yeah, how I don't know how the Greek alphabet works, but Z is typically near the end. So
well, that's just A through Z, but I don't think it applies.
Maybe not.
It's a little bit different with the Greek alphabet.
Now I got to go learn about the Greek alphabet.
I was amused because I think the person with the ABC. Broadcaster for the last couple of days has been mispronouncing it, and I'm just like, he certainly was not a fraternity or sorority person from college.
So I'm looking at it here. You got Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, then Zeta, and then right. it goes further. Zeta's only like the sixth one there.
Well, hopefully this will be the last, and it'll be like done with. So we'll move forward. All right, so week 8 of the NFL kicks off tonight, and you know, we talked about this a little bit, Christian McCaffrey, and what can we expect? Can the Falcons hold on and win a game? The Carolinas at home, they're a 1.5-point favorite tonight at home against Atlanta. You know, you would think that Atlanta's eventually got to get one of these games, right?
If they're going to do it, this is the one they're going to do it.
Think about it. They got Matt Ryan. They got Todd Gurley, you know. They got Julio Jones. You've got Calvin Ridley. How can this team record-wise be as bad as they are?
Because their defense has just been that poor. I mean, Atlanta and Dallas, up until the Dak injury, were very, very similar. And of course, they played each other in that game that ended up being a barn burner, and then the onside kick problem that happened there. But their defense is abysmal, and so they have to have guys like Calvin Ridley. and Julio Jones and even Todd Gurley continually scoring points because they got to keep up with their own defense. I almost think you look at those teams like Cowboys and the Falcons, and these guys are good players, obviously, but it seems like their circumstance has forced them to become next-level talent because they have no other choice. It's either they put up 45 points a game and everybody's out there scoring, or they lose by 45 points. I mean, that's their options, and so they're almost out of necessity playing really good football.
Couple of college games tonight, and you know, don't hold your breath. You got Georgia Southern playing host to South Alabama, and then that will be followed by a little bit later on tonight, Fresno State at home against Colorado State. Yeah, doesn't really excite me, either one of those.
No.
Remember when Fresno State was, when they were, and this was probably back during the run when you had Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, and you had USC certainly year in and year out in that conversation for the national championship in that first decade of the 21st century. But you also had a very, you know, a decent Fresno State team under Pat Hill. Remember, had the, I always liked the fact that in the old video games, as far as with NCAA football, one of the more interesting defined characters as far as head coach, because you could recognize him because of his mustache. But Fresno State was, and they tried to be like, you know, elite, like they kept wanting to refer to themselves as FSU. It's like, you know, stop. That's just like, you know, when you've got the colored field at Boise State and then you had Eastern Washington trying to have the red field. It's like, okay, don't be the copycat. And that same thing applies, like, with South Carolina at times. They want to be USC as well. It's like, no, you don't get to claim that.
You know which former Titan came out of Georgia Southern?
I was a kicker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he played at Auburn. Joe Nedney, right?
Rob Baronis. You're close.
Rob Baronis. I knew he was one of them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I remember that now.
Adrian Peterson came out of there, but it wasn't that Adrian Peterson. There was a running back, Adrian Peterson, around the same time, if you remember that.
Not
for
the
Chicago.
Same Adrian Peterson that you think is one of the top five running backs of all time.
No, this Adrian Peterson's way down that list. He's way down there. Peterson's up there.
By the way, I'm not giving you that. I know you want to claim it. That's fine, but sorry.
That's all right. Some people are right. Some people are wrong. And then we let the people decide which side of the spectrum each one of us are on.
And by the way, I go back to the Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma. I remember he had just an outstanding first-year campaign there as a running back for Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I think that was during a time, too, when, you know, first-year players never was in that conversation for the Heisman. I mean, you might get to be third, and that's why I think he was that particular season. Just like Herschel Walker, you go back to his 3 years. First year, he was third. Second year, he was second. And then finally, he wins it as far as the Heisman Trophy.
How tough is that, though, being, you know, there was two Adrian Petersons in the NFL at that time, both running backs, one in Chicago, one in Minnesota. And how hard is it to be the other Adrian Peterson? Because, you know, when people see your name, they're like, whoa, Adrian Peterson. And they're like, do you play in the NFL? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you're a running back? Yeah. And then he's got to be like, well, I'm not that Adrian Peterson,
hey,
though.
Well, no, if you get the free dinner, then you don't ever, you don't claim that you're not the other.
Imagine, you know, just, another quarterback named Tom Brady out there.
Like, yeah, I'm that guy. You know,
that's really crazy. And they were in the same division, too. That's even crazier that they were rivals. There were two Adrian Petersons on each team that were running backs and were rivals.
Yeah, there's certain names like that, you know, whether you're talking football, baseball, whatever, that, you know, might want to consider changing the name.
Yeah.
Just something.
Just be Peterson at that point. Be like Cher. Just go one name.
That would be that'd be the same thing if you're an entertainer, an actor, or whatever. It's just like, okay, that's when you have to add the initial or whatever. Like the actor, who was the actor? Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan, yep.
Yeah, so it's like, can't just be Michael Jordan. So you just got to throw out throw the initial, whatever the case may be. And the ironic part, too, when you're in that situation, what happens when you're really, you know, you're successful at what you're doing, but, you know, you still need to add the initial just to be able to separate yourself just a little bit.
Do you know Michael Jordan's real middle name?
Which one? The basketball player?
Yeah, the big one.
I'm going to say John. No, what is it?
It was close. That's close, though. It was Jeffrey.
Okay. Well, but the reason I know this is because his brother was entering the agent business. And this goes back to, there's always a connection with my sports collection. And he was trying to...
I mean, your hoarder's nest.
Yeah. Well, okay. There was a time there where certain agents, you know, were trying to bend the rules or whatever and would try to do every... I know, it's hard to believe. They would try to do everything they possibly could to convince me to at least open the door as far as a potential athlete to maybe look at them. And, you know, as a potential representative for them as they, you know, and it's like... And they... You know, they were clueless in the sense that, you know, already been there, done that, didn't trust any of them. And so I never would cooperate with any of them. But I bring it up because Michael Jordan's brother tried. And you know how he tried to open up that door?
Shoes.
No, he sent me an autographed Michael Jordan 8x10 picture.
Oh, nice. Well.
So that's how I have a nice 8x10 autographed Michael Jordan picture, because the brother tried to... You know, just try to, like, grease the wheels just a little bit.
You got to do it sometimes, you know. Whether it's sports or business, in some way, everybody's got to grease those wheels at some point.
You know, it's funny. I look back now and I think about it. But, you know, when I opened up the envelope, I still remember opening up the envelope and go, wow, cool. And but then you're, you know, I mean, but I'm not, like, dumb. And so I knew exactly what was happening. But did I return the photo? Absolutely not.
Yeah,
still have it. You know, so it's like, send more. I'll take it.
That's funny.
All right. So if you'd like to be a part of the show, you know, it's strange. You know, looking at this weekend schedule as far as the college football and the SEC, and I'm looking at some of these matchups, and I'm still like trying. Like here, we got LSU and Auburn, and the fact that neither one of these teams ranked in the top 25. Didn't see that happening at, you know, when we knew that they were going to play games, you would expect at least one of these two teams to be ranked. But, it, you know, it's bizarre. And the other thing I know is, you know, here's Vanderbilt getting ready for Ole Miss. The fact that in three games, Vanderbilt's only scored 26 total points, which is, by the way, it's either 97th or 98th as far as ranking them nationally as far as scoring offense. Yeah, that's not good. Last time I checked, that's not really good.
No, that's not. I thought you were going to say it's really strange to look at this weekend, because this is the first weekend, if I'm correct, we're back to sports normalcy, right? So there's no baseball, there's no basketball, there's nothing going on with the
weird. Well, we're not normal in the sense that we should have hockey and NBA going on right now.
That's true. Okay.
So good try.
So it's not normal.
We're not there yet.
Take that, everybody.
97th Vanderbilt ranks as far as points scored per game. You know, ahead of them, Mississippi State with their who saw this coming? Remember the big, huge win against LSU in the first week? And they're only averaging 18.5 points a game. That's 88th as far as nationally. Tennessee right ahead of them. They're 81st nationally. But Mississippi State, remember, they had the huge win, and we thought, oh, my gosh, you know, whoever has them on the schedule, look out, because they're going to just be racking up the yards and the points. And so they went from 44 points being scored against LSU to 14 against Arkansas, 2 against Kentucky, and 14 against Texas A&M. So they've only scored 30 points in their last three games after 44 being scored against LSU in the opening week.
Jeez.
And by the way, and look, we see that this is kind of normal when you got a first-year head coach and changing a culture, and so you get players just not on the same page. Something like 7 more players have quit Mississippi State recently. They're just, you know, there's a disconnect there, and it's like not getting along with Coach Leach. And so, and you know, it is the old thing. It is what it is. He doesn't seem too overly concerned about it.
He'll get it figured out. He's gotten it figured out almost everywhere else, right?
But look, we've seen this. You know, we saw when Nick Saban took over Alabama in 2007, you had some that were not playing as far as from a team standpoint, and you had individuals playing as individuals and not working towards the team goals. It's still kind of strange when you look back at that 2007 season, the fact that Alabama almost beat the team that went on to win the national championship that year. In fact, they had them beat late in the fourth quarter, LSU, that particular year, if you remember correctly. But, you know, it is, you know, when you talk about first-year head coaches, you know, you're going to have some individuals just not, you know, being a part of the program, not buying in, and we're certainly seeing it down there as far as in Starkville. All right, 615-844-5600. Let's start things off. Dr. Detroit, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how are you? I'll be quick, and I'm going backwards. I'm going to go from Sunday all the way up to the Dodgers World Series victory.
All right.
So Sunday, here we go. I'm sorry. I'm going back to Saturday. What did you think about the Indiana upset over Penn State, and was that a legalized touchdown to you?
Yes, it was. I have no problem with the 2-point conversion.
Oh, pardon me. Was it?
The 2-point conversion gave them the win. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I had no problem with that. He stretched. I didn't see any part of his body touching when the ball hit the pylon. So I think it's a legitimate win for Indiana.
Second, did Matthew Stafford win that game for the Lions with 2 seconds left, or the coaching staff?
Hey, how about Todd Gurley? Let's give it to Todd Gurley.
All right. Now, hey, you're really going to love it. Zach, you're really going to thank God, Dr. Detroit, you're being so creative. Okay, Matt Prater still has the record for the longest field goal kick. But now then, since they had a penalty after that tie-and-pursuing touchdown drive, Matt Prater kicks a 48-yard extra point conversion. Would that not be a record for an extra point conversion?
I'm sure it's happened, and you know, since we've made this rule change and moved it back, it's not the first time there's been a penalty where the extra point gets moved back to that distance. So it's certainly in the conversation. And what a big kick, okay. You know.
Yeah. All right, and now leading up to, you know, I mean, at first when I heard about the guy for the Dodgers being pulled in the sixth inning because his test came back positive for corona, now while I was religiously watching Fox News like I always do last night, they're bringing it up, and I'm like, wow, you know, I've never really seen it that way. So if you got tested in the morning, you're really going to take that long to examine the test results? And it took them to the sixth inning saying, hey, you got a guilty culprit on the field playing with corona. You got to pull them.
Yeah, that's with all this weird, money we're talking about, Zach, and we went into a conversation about this, and the fact that of all the leagues, and I understand the testing was weird the day before, so they did the retest, but I'm still trying to figure out why it took so long to get the results. I mean, when I had my test result, I was fortunate enough pulled a few strings and got a rapid test and knew within 20 to 25 minutes while I was waiting there for the results. And so I could get that, and yet here we are, Major League Baseball. I had to wait. They do a test that morning, and a game's being played, and you're talking about in the latter part of that contest is when you find out. I mean, that never – yeah, somebody, Lucy, whoever has some explaining to do on that one.
Yeah, that was completely set up by the MLB to mess that up. That's on there.
And I'll leave on this. Let's congratulate Tampa Bay for even making it. Such a young team. I dig it. It sort of reminds me of my 06 Tigers when we blew through the Yankees and Kenny Rogers was our pretty awesome pitcher, but Justin Verlander was just a freshman for the Tigers during that year. I'm going to take that back. We still had quite a few veterans on that 2006 squad as well when the Cardinals beat us. But anyway, all right, class dismissed. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.
Hey, appreciate that. Hey, by the way, you know, we were talking about how what if Tampa Bay, you know, knowing that the Lightning already winning the Stanley Cup. Well, now we kind of neglected the fact that, you know, you got the Lakers, they won the NBA title, and now the Dodgers winning the World Series. So, hey, maybe it's time for – I'm not going to give you the Chargers. So I guess this means we have to – if you want the Los Angeles angle to continue, it would have to be Jared Goff and the Rams, which, by the way, you know, they're certainly more than capable you know, as far as one of the better teams in the NFC right now.
And Magic Johnson now has a championship title in three separate sporting divisions. He's got one, obviously, with the Lakers, now the Dodgers, and then also with his the LA Sparks in the women's NBA.
The rich just keep getting richer.
Richer and richer and richer and more successful. It's great for him.
What does he own? He owns a lot of...
he owns everything,
you know,
I think.
But he has a lot of franchises. I forgot what stores he got into, you know, but there was just something he got... Was it Subway Shops or something? He got really big into a particular franchise.
Peyton did Papa John's.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Something tells me it was like Subway or something. We'll figure that out during the break. Before we go to break, however, Clay in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Johnny, I hope this gloomy afternoon has you on the mend.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Look, spirits are good. Hey, based on what I saw last week and where I am today, you know, it could be storming right now, and it would be nice sunshiny weather inside my room because I will never take feeling good for granted ever again. Not quite there yet, but based on where I was last week, I will never take that for granted.
Johnny, there's three football teams, one college and two professional teams that I like, and I'm going to give you my level of interest in the rest of the season for all three. I'm going to call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Which do you want first?
Give me all three, one at a time.
Good is the Titans.
All right.
The bad is the Dallas Cowboys. And the uglies, the Vanderbilt Commodores, although I'm still hopeful of a win.
Yeah, just I'm looking at the point totals, and that's the part, you know, the fact that they've scored three offensive touchdowns this year. Just three in three games.
So
you know, there's some team, and Alabama will score that many in one quarter, but three offensive touchdowns so far in their three contests.
So that leads me to this question, Johnny. Ole Miss's defense can't stop a nosebleed.
Right.
So does Vandy score two offensive touchdowns Saturday?
Zach, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to give him two. Come on.
I'll give him two, and mainly because of what you just brought up, the Ole Miss defense pretty shaky. So I'll say Vanderbilt will score at least two offensive touchdowns on Saturday. Besides, it's Halloween, so why not?
I'm going to make a prediction, Johnny. The Dallas Cowboys will play four games before their Thanksgiving Day game against the Washington Football Club or whatever their name is now.
That's exactly what they are. They're the Washington Football Club. So
both teams, I think, will go into that game at 2-9. Neither will win a game before then. And I'm going to predict where the Cowboys are traditional on Thanksgiving. It'll be the least watched Cowboys Thanksgiving game ever.
It is. No, no, no. It's Thanksgiving and it's the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters record wise. Plus, remember, even they're you know what? They're three games under 500 right now. They're only a game out of first place. They could be in first place coming up on Monday.
As far as the Titans are concerned, Johnny, to me, it's pretty simple for them to, you know, go deep into the playoffs. I do think they'll win the division. But as far as making another deep run in the playoffs and hopefully maybe even, you know, crazy things happen and they make the Super Bowl, they've got to get fresh on the quarterback and the secondary's got to play better. Of course, the two kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways. And Gostkowski's got to be more consistent because he's going to have a kick in the playoffs, Johnny, like Sunday, where he's got to make a kick for them to advance.
Well, he has three game-winning kicks this year. He is the fifth all-time, you know, going through last year, fifth all-time in NFL history as far as, you know, as far as success rate. You know, look, slumps happen. He'll get it straightened out.
What do you think about the point spread on the Vandy Ole Miss game? I think it's like it's 16.5, right?
You know, I still go back to Vanderbilt. You got to find a way to score. And we don't know how many athletes have been impacted as far as with the COVID-19. So we don't know what we're getting. We don't know mentally what this team – in fact, we'll get more in this conversation with Adam Sparks just after 5. But we don't know as far as how this – is it still a team? Is it divided? We won't know until they show up on Saturday afternoon.
I think they are going to get a couple guys back also that have been on, you know, the COVID list or whatever. That's according to Derek Mason. But so,
yeah, I just think that Vanderbilt's going to have a tough time keeping up with the scoring, and that's why I, you know, with Ole Miss, the 16.5, you know, I kind of like Ole Miss in the points mainly because the fact that I don't have a lot of faith just yet in that offense for Vanderbilt that will can score enough to keep up with Ole Miss's offense.
Have a good day, John.
Hey, appreciate it. By the way, Magic Johnson, you know, just picked the franchise that he's been.
Yeah, well, I was looking at it too.
Yeah, Starbucks, 105 plus locations, TGI Fridays, Lowe's movie theaters. He also has some Burger Kings out there. So yeah, he's not doing badly.
I think his biggest one, man, this is crazy. The stuff that he's in. Sodexo. I don't know if you looked into that, but it's a $22 billion food. They give out food to a lot of government sectors and schools, preschools, that sort of things, all across like 42 in the Netherlands, 122 prisons. This dude has got so much money.
He and Roger Staubach, the former quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, two individuals that certainly after their playing days were over, you can look at them as Hall of Fame business folks as well, just with what they did as far as with their business interests after their playing days were over.
Smart. I mean, if you're an athlete and you're coming up, look at those guys. Call them. Say, hey, how do I get like you?
Yeah, they weren't thinking about clubbing. They were thinking about, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur, and I just want to keep growing as an individual from that standpoint. And boy, that's Magic Johnson and Roger Staubach, two perfect examples of, if you're looking to, you know, follow somebody's footsteps, an example when you're making money and what to do with the money that you've made. Two individuals right there that have certainly, and it's a diversified type of portfolio too. Would you rather own
a Starbucks, Burger King, or TGIF?
Probably Burger King.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll have a go with the Burger King.
Hmm. My wife wants me to say Starbucks.
Why is this?
Because she's a coffee snob. She's all in the coffee.
There's parts of me that will wonder, okay, at what point do we get tired of paying that kind of money for a cup of coffee? Because it's
never
a cup of coffee.
Never. So, you'll never see. It's like Chick-fil-A. You'll never see a small line at Starbucks.
That's the part, the line of Chick-fil-A's. I mean, that is, and I still remember what Chick-fil-A was like in the mall back when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to worry about, you know, folks being lined up outside the door. So you go from – so that was my remembrance of Chick-fil-A, and now to see today when there's always a line.
Oh, yeah. It's the most profitable franchise you can get into, and it's the cheapest to get into. You have to be selected, though. They have to, like, you have to go through a real process just because their branding's so good. I know we're off sports here, but
– and they have that, by the way. Well, not, you know, technically. I mean, you can talk about Chick-fil-A and the Mercedes-Benz Dome and the fact that you can never get one there. Because
they can't play. Well, you got to do
Saturdays.
On
Sundays. Yeah. That's right.
You can do it there.
All right. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're still dealing with some rain showers out here. We're watching it rain right now here on 24 westbound, where traffic's running slow up by Ellington Parkway. It's just busy on the South Loop, the West Loop, 65 starting to build now pretty good up through Madison. Edmondson Pike at Brighton Village, that's a crash to South Nashville. Traffic's really picked up now. 40 East headed out to Wilson County. To cater your next holiday party that's coming up, call Prince's Hot Chicken or simply go online to princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel, like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text TIGER to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text TIGER to 42424. That's TIGER to 42424.
The spread of COVID-19 is still unchecked across the nation, and you need to keep your family safe. Make a new habit and check your temperatures twice a day. Once before dinner and before leaving home in the morning. You can't afford to take chances, so use the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 80 clinical studies, and it takes an accurate reading in seconds. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. Quick and easy to use, you can count on Exergen to keep your family safe 24 hours a day.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this afternoon. We'll have clouds and showers, a high 70. Showers end this evening, remains mostly cloudy overnight, the low 42. Clouds will win a sunshine for Friday, but a cooler day with a high of 54. Utilizing the resources of the local network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. But right now, going back to the hotline, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, hope you're having a great week to this point, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're looking at the SEC. It's the halfway point, although some teams have only played 4 games. Others, like, you know, we look at Vanderbilt, they have not seen the football field since October 10th. Same thing applies to the Florida Gators. But, you know, the fact that, you know, so far here we are with the 10-game schedule as far as in conference play, could you envision where they look at this and go, you know, we can actually make this happen, 10 conference games, 2 non-conference, and that's the way it'll be? Or do you feel like it would be too many teams beating up on each other?
I think it would be – well, I don't think it would be either, honestly. I think what would what the holdup would be is that the limitations that would create – for the out-of-conference games, a lot of which have already been set in stone, and you know some teams have 3 big out-of-conference games per year set up already. So, do you want to cancel 1 or 2 of those just to add more conference games? I think that the SEC after this, they're going to have to try to find a balance of this, like what the interest of another conference game, in this case 2 conference games, or more out-of-conference games. And I think you can't go back to 8. It's not going to go back to 8. But I think that they'll settle on 9, knowing that they have a lot of very interesting, you know, out-of-conference games set up over the next 15 years or so.
I mean, I go back to, like, Alabama with Bear Bryant, even with Ray Perkins, 70s and 80s. You know, there'd be years where Alabama, besides their conference schedule, they would play Ohio State, Penn State, and Notre Dame all in the same year.
Yeah, and I think that's the theory back then was make yourself look good for pollsters, obviously. And really that's been sort of the scheduling matrix or guide, so to speak, for all these teams is what does the postseason look like? what can, you know, we do to make ourselves look better, things like that. And so I think in the past with the BCS, it was schedule as light as possible and try to win all your games. Now with the college football playoff, I think folks have realized, hey, okay, having a loss if it's to a pretty good team is okay. And then now I think a lot of these teams are preparing for the future and playoff expansion, unfortunately. And so they've loaded up their back end of their schedule or back end of their future schedules with a ton of really good competition, which would, again, limit the amount of conference games within the SEC that could be played because, you know, they're going to move forward. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you have to find a delicate balance. You can't have a self-contained season. So there has to be some intersectional interest somewhere. And I think having these kind of games in the future will be great. And I think if you can eliminate a cupcake here or there, then that's even better.
You know, the Big Ten just started last weekend, and they had no room for error, and already we lose a Wisconsin-Nebraska game coming up this weekend. A Wisconsin team, to me, you know, I'm really curious to see just how good they are, and could they be the best team in the Big Ten? But now a team impacted by COVID-19, a BYU team that's currently ranked 11th in the AP Top 25 poll, and we won't really know how good BYU is because of COVID-19 issues when scheduling. It's just one of those years that, unfortunately, opportunities for teams that could have made runs we'll probably never know just how good they are.
Yeah, and in BYU's case, I think they've done a really good job of getting themselves visible, and they've also given themselves a lot of room on the back end to be sort of the bullpen team, so to speak, for teams that have games canceled. You saw that with Nebraska and Tennessee Chattanooga today. The reports coming out that Nebraska tried to schedule UTC this weekend, and it didn't get approved by the Big Ten, which is just stupid. So you wonder if later on down the road, if BYU would be subject to the same rule, considering it's an FBS independent. I think it's made it really hard, and it's going to make it really hard for people to judge which team deserves which accolades. And the Big Ten and eventually the Pac-12, they've got no one to blame but themselves. They had a lack of self-awareness when they went to a conference-only schedule. They had a lack of self-awareness when they canceled their season. They delayed as much as possible trying to explain it away with myocarditis, which, if you read Ross Dellinger's story from Sports Illustrated yesterday, is affecting like a very, very, very small percentage of positive COVID athletes. And now they're in a situation where games get canceled, not postponed, and you might have a team play five games this year. It's on the Big Ten. It's on Kevin Warren. It's on those presidents. It's their bed they made in it, or have to lay in it, and it's not going to be comfortable.
How much is this on Kevin Warren, or how much is he just the fall guy? I mean, was Kevin Warren, looking back, was he just trying to say, okay, we're the Big Ten. We don't have to follow the SEC or any other conference. We can be leaders. Do you feel like it was Kevin Warren in his first year as commissioner of the Big Ten wanting to send statements, or was it also, the presidents making some of these decisions behind the scenes and Kevin Warren just was the guy out front?
Well, I think it was both. I think it was his bosses are the presidents, right? So he's got to make them look good. And if that was their goal, if the president's goal was to do exactly what you said, which I think it was, then I think Kevin Warren just was forced to go along with it. And yet he's out front and he's the one taking all the hits. And that's just the nature of the beast being a conference commissioner. Had it been, somebody else, Jim Delaney, whoever, with more experience, then I don't necessarily think the same result would have happened, because there would be a little bit more confidence that the job was stable. So I think it was sort of a confluence of circumstances. The presidents certainly were the ones that wanted these decisions to be made. Kevin Warren, being a newbie, so to speak, in the conference commissioner world, Probably felt like appeasing his bosses was the right thing to do, even if he felt it was the right thing to do too. Really had no reason to push back and didn't feel like he should push back for his own personal reasons and maybe even for the longevity and stability of the conference moving forward.
Happy chance once again to visit with Barrett Salee. With regards to the SEC right now, Alabama, 5-0, looking great, hosting Mississippi State coming up this weekend. What's going on as far as in Starkville? Is this just the norm where you get a first-year head coach and trying to change a culture and not getting total buy-in? And in this case, just seems like, in the last week, 7 more players has quit the Mississippi State squad. Is it just the norm, or is there something else going on?
I think there's something else going on. I think Mike Leach, he's done this in the past, but this idea that he's just running folks off, I have a hard time believing that's the case. If one of those guys is Kylin Hill and another one of those guys is Tyrell Shavers, who he convinced to transfer from Alabama. So if suddenly he's running guys off, this is a weird way to go about it. So I do think there's something underlying there that that is not sitting well. And yeah, some of those guys are Joe Moorhead recruits, and some of them are even Dan Mullen recruits. So yeah, he might be weeding some folks out, and a lot of coaches do that, there's no doubt. But to think that's all that it is, when one of those guys he convinced to transfer and who was playing a pretty major role in that offense, and another one of those guys is the best player on that roster, I don't see how you can say that it was that it's all just filtering players out that don't belong, because if that's the case, that's a pretty aggressive way to do it. And if he thinks he's going to get away with that in Starkville, that's not going to fly. Nick Saban can do that in Alabama. Other coaches can do it at big major programs. But if you're trying to rebuild Mississippi State from the ground up, tearing it down even further in your first year doesn't seem like the wisest move in the world.
Well, I mean, you talk about Kylin Hill, for example, the running back, and, I use that term loosely because he's not really carrying the ball in the backfield. He is, third in the SEC in receptions per game. Look, yeah, that can only help him at the next level because, as well as I do, NFL teams love running backs who can catch the balls, catch footballs coming out of the backfield. But he also wants to carry the ball, too.
Well, yeah, and that's, again, what makes it so interesting is he's got, 23 catches, 15 carries on the year. He did declare for the NFL draft last year and decided to come back after Mike Leach took that job. And so I wonder, what did he expect? Everybody knows when you watch Mike Leach's offense that running backs are used as wide receivers more than running backs. That's not a secret. It's part of the sales job. And you're right, I think it is attractive to a guy like Kylin Hill who wants to make himself an all-around better back. So then why do you bail halfway through a season when you are catching the ball, you are doing what you came back to do? Because NFL scouts already know how good of a running back he is. They want to see him as a receiver. He's clearly a really good receiver, too. So that's why, in my mind, that there's something else going on, is because I can't imagine a scenario where Kylin Hill can say with a straight face that he didn't expect to be used this way, because everybody knows that this is how Mike Leach uses guys like him that can add a different element to the passing game.
The other part about it, too, with Mike Leach is the fact that, his other stops, including Mississippi State, it's not like these are places where the lights are at the brightest as far as in the college football world. And so we really don't get too much information as far as behind the scenes. You get, disgruntled players, parents, et cetera, from time to time. But because we're not talking about the biggest programs in college football, a lot of this stuff, in so many cases, flies under the radar.
Yeah, it does. And there's discontent, obviously, everywhere. That's just the nature of that's true of every corporation. It's true of every club. It's true of everything. So you don't get to see peel back the curtain all that much. And I think that's why I think what's going on in Mississippi State is even more concerning, because you are getting a peek behind the curtain a little bit. You don't necessarily know why this stuff's happening, but you know it's happening, which is, it's strange. Think about what we were talking about 3 weeks ago. You know, Mississippi State being the darling of college football, and KJ Costello being a Heisman contender. My goodness, that changed in a hurry.
I mean, yeah, we go back to the fact that they score 44 in that 44-34 win over LSU. And then since then, I mean, I threw out the totals earlier this hour, 14 against Arkansas, 2 against Kentucky, and 14 against Texas A&M. So in the last three, their totals don't even come close to matching what they did the first week.
No, and again, I don't know why really that would be all that surprising. You know, I can't imagine a player thinking, okay, well, we're going to bail because we're not going to be in contention for the SEC West. I don't know why a Mississippi State player would ever think they would be. So, yeah, it's certainly gone downhill, and I think you're finding out, if you're Mississippi State, you're finding out what Mike Leach is, because he's had these all the time. He's got games where things click and they're unstoppable. And then he's got games where you kind of look around going, why is this happening? We look so unprepared. That's Mike Leach football. That's what they do. And I don't know how you fix it. I don't know. If you're Mississippi State, you hired the guy. You know this is how it works, so just you got to roll with it.
You know, I was looking at the top 25 this week. 9 conferences, 1 independent representing the 25 teams ranked. And I don't know about you. I look at the top 10, for example, and I see teams like I remember when North Carolina, you know, a couple weeks back until they got beat by Florida State, they're what, number 5 in the country, and I'm going way overrated. I could give you 8 SEC teams that could beat them. And I'm looking at the top 10. Florida, to me, I don't see quote-unquote top 10 teams in so many of these cases as far as, say, teams 6 through 10 per se this year. And then when you start looking at the teams ranked, you know, from 11 to 25, it's like, I mean, this year we just got some good teams, but there is a huge separation this year, it seems like, compared to recent years.
Yeah, it's basically Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. Rank them however you want, and then everybody else. And
right.
I tell you what, we have to rank. We do our CBS one. I think it's 127 now because Old Dominion and a couple others aren't playing. And when I fill in my ballot for that late night Saturday night or Sunday morning, the last couple of weeks I've gotten to number 3, number 4, and kind of just stared at the screen for like 10 minutes going, I don't. And it's number 4 through like number 40, where it's just, you can make a case for all of them and all of the cases suck, you know? So
that's what I was saying about like Texas A&M. They're ranked number 8 this week. And I go back to Vanderbilt, who scored 3 total offensive touchdowns the entire year. Had the ball in their hands with a chance to beat Texas A&M in that fourth quarter in week 1. And here's A&M, the 8th team in the country. I'm having a tough time wrapping my arms around some of these teams.
Well, try justifying Notre Dame, although Notre Dame did look good last week. But Notre Dame's one of those teams where I put it on my ballot. Like, number 4, really? Like, really, they're number 4?
Well, you won't have to worry about that after next week, because they play Clemson next week. You know, they could lose to Clemson, followed by North Carolina in the month of November. So you may not have to worry about them.
Right, but you're going to put trust in North Carolina, though? I mean, again, same thing. You know, you can't – there's a whole lot of just okay. And in a year like this, it's strange, and it's a little different than normal, but I guess we should have expected that.
You know,
there'd be a whole bunch of just okay, and that okay being not nearly as good as it has been in years past. So it's wild, and it makes, you know, the games outside of, you know, the big 3, it makes them interesting. It makes it wild. It keeps it entertaining. And again, we talked about this before. If we're going to sit here and have this season, we might as well get weird with it and not take it too seriously and just have a lot of fun watching upsets and crazy things happen, like quadruple doinks on field goals and overtime. Just let it ride, man.
Hey, before we let you go, remind everybody again the best ways to keep up with your college football coverage.
Yeah, follow on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, all that stuff, and Jared Salee. Download the CBS Sports app, watch CBS Sports HQ, and we will have – and Sportsline. The Sportsline three best bets are up. They're 6-3 against the spread over the last 3 weeks. So that will make you some money in Vegas, so to speak.
There you go. Hey, listen, have a great rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Barrett Salee joining us. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're looking at heavy traffic here trying to get up into Goodlettsville on 65 northbound, passing Vietnam Vets. They're stacked up there, 65 north at Metro Center, trying to make your way past Rosa Parks. Crash 15,000 block of OHB. That's going to be near Nippers Corner, South Nashville. It does involve injuries. Over in Hermitage, they're still working that crash at Tulip Grove Road at Lebanon Pike that made a mess. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. They're located 5814 Nolansville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Joey Logano punches his ticket to the Championship Four race at Phoenix in a couple of weeks. But up next, this weekend, is Texas Motor Speedway in the round of eight. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. This hour being brought to you in part by the Klein Press and Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, which includes business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Press and Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPressandLaw.com. All right, so we talk about week eight of the NFL kicking off tonight as Carolina plays host to Atlanta. 68% of the country, by the way, Zach, taking Carolina and giving Atlanta the points. I'm going to be on the other side. I'm going to take Atlanta and the point and a half tonight. What are your thoughts?
It's close. I don't know. I think this is a close game because you got to remember this Carolina team, they can put up points really quick. You know, Robbie Anderson is one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL right now. And DJ Moore's coming to his own. So their defense, it's just because Atlanta's defense is so bad, right? So I don't know. But I think Carolina wins this one outright, honestly.
Well, we go back to the last time Atlanta was on the road. They went to Minnesota, and remember, they won in that game 40-23. In fact, it's the only win this year for the Atlanta Falcons. And so maybe it's being able to be away from Atlanta. They can just, you know.
Primetime Matt Ryan, you got to remember that, too. He sucks in primetime.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. The big question will be the defense and also what type of productivity we can get out of Christian McCaffrey for the Carolina. But
Christian McCaffrey will not be playing.
All right, so I'm going to take Atlanta and the point and a half. All right, hour number two on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
WPDQ. Frank Sparrow. On air and online,
sports radio.